Today's guest is a long-distance friend of mine who I met through the world of photography. Not only is she a super talented photographer, but a devoted wife and incredible mother to her two children. She has been a member in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as LDS, her entire life until recently deciding to leave and find faith in a way that aligns more with her, which is what we'll be talking about on today's episode. That being said, I also want to be clear that this is in no way, shape, or form talking about religion, church, or LDS church in a negative way. Our goal is to share a personal experience that may help someone going through something similar. I'm so excited to finally welcome to the show, Brayden Penrod. Okay, Brayden, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And especially with losing your voice literally this morning.
Yes.
You are a trooper, so just so everybody knows, this is not her real voice. She is...
My real voice is a lot less sexy.
Well, you know, I'm honored that you chose this voice for this podcast, so...
Yeah, I figured if I was going to do it, I had to do it sexy.
Right. So we met through the world of photography, but I, you know, through social media... You caught my eye when you started sharing a little bit of your faith journey. So I want you to give the listeners just a little background of you personally, but then also for someone who has no idea, you know, anything about LDS community and the church, if you can kind of explain that just a little bit.
Okay. I mean, there's a lot within the LDS church. But our main focus is eternal families and the Book of Mormon, following the prophet. We have 10 commandments that we have to follow. There's the word of wisdom. There's so much within the church. It's hard to like narrow it down to just like little things. But the main thing is the Book of Mormon. That's okay. Like what we, that's the foundation of our religion. Mm-hmm. And we're taught to read that from a very young age.
Do you notice any like major differences with, you know, your religion and the Book of Mormon versus like your traditional Christian or Catholic religion? Because I grew up Catholic. And so, I just want to know like the main points of like how LDS differs from that.
So we believe in three separate beings of the church or of the like hierarchy. We believe in a Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, where I know like within the Catholic and Christian, it's all one and the same. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
So I feel like that's something that really is different in comparison. The Book of Mormon is more about Mormon and his teachings. And like, we believe the Bible to be as, like, we believe it to be true as far as it is translated correctly is what we are taught. Mm-hmm. So we don't even really like read the Bible much. I know I've like gone through Bible teachings within like seminary, which is something that is like for high school students, you go to a religious class. And I remember learning about the Bible there, but most of the time we're on the Book of Mormon and its teachings. So we learn a lot about Joseph Smith, who was the person who, like, what's the word, restored the church. And then he wrote the Book of Mormon. And that's, like, the basis of all of our religion.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah, and it's my understanding that it seems like it's a little bit stricter of a community. Is that kind of your take on it as well, that it's...
Yeah, we can't drink coffee or hot teas. We can't have alcohol, obviously, like no smoking. We can't have sex before marriage. Modesty is a huge thing. After you get married in the temple, well, after you get endowed in the temple, which is a whole... The temple in and of itself is a whole other thing. Mm-hmm. But you wear garments, which is like underclothes that are basically a baseline of like what you can wear mm-hmm. on top of your clothes. So we're required to wear those after we've been endowed in the church or in the temple. And so like, it's just very strict. Mm-hmm. And there's all these little rules and on top of all the bigger commandments that you shouldn't do that our prophets have told us during like our general conference, which is, I think I was telling you this yesterday, twice a year, our prophet like and his apostles sit down and we take a couple of days, like every 6 months, that we listen to our prophet and they teach us all these things. And those are a lot of the times those teachings are taken as commandments. Like I remember being 6 years old and my mom told me I couldn't wear tank tops anymore because a prophet had said that it was immodest.
Okay.
And
wow,
like we weren't allowed to watch rated R movies. And I watched my first rated R movie like a year ago. Oh, I'm 31.
Okay.
So it is very strict. We have very strict like teachings. And I know for a lot of members of the church, they think that it's keeping them safe. And they enjoy that they have that like those guidelines. And I think that's great for them. Like I have no issues if that's what brings them happiness. I just didn't love it for myself.
Right. And so with that, I mean, at what point did you start to notice that, you know, hey, I don't feel like I'm in alignment here. Like, I don't know that this is necessarily my community, my, you know, home here. So what can you pinpoint that really made you start to feel that way?
You know, it's kind of crazy because I was listening to a different podcast. It's actually the Mormon Stories podcast. Mm-hmm. If you want to learn about the church and different things with that, it's a great one to look into and listen to. But I listened to one girl on it and she said that her soul rejected the church. And when I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, that's 100% what my soul has been doing my entire life. I just didn't realize it. And I thought that I was a bad person and that I needed to change things in myself, not that the church was bad for me. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So at the age of 12, we can go into the temple for the first time and do baptisms for the dead. That's a whole other thing to do with like ancestors and after they leave this earth doing their temple work. So we can do baptisms for them. And I remember every single time going into the temple, just feeling so like just not good. I never felt good there. And we're told and it's talked about as if it's like the best thing. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to feel so much peace in there. And so I always internalized it like, well, I must be doing something wrong. I must be a sinner. And
you're feeling this way as a young kid most
as
often.
As a youth. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I felt that even before going in the temple, I felt that at the age of 8 when when you first get baptized. Is at 8 and you make the decision to get baptized and you can have all your sins washed away. And like, I can remember at each moment in like where it's supposed to be these big things for us as youth, just feeling like I was never good enough. Mm-hmm. And
because you're watching everyone around you just fully embody this religion, this faith, and everybody's like, oh, I go to church and I feel so good when I leave. And you're like,
yes.
What is wrong with me? Like, why can't I feel that way here?
Exactly. And I think to some degree too, I had to wonder if people were faking it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like I do think that people genuinely feel those things. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. We gave the disclaimer already.
I do feel like people genuinely feel those things and feel that peace and that love. But I do feel like there's those that, like me, I didn't admit like, oh, I'm not feeling good. I was like, yeah, it's so great. I love it here. I feel so much peace, but really I wasn't.
Right.
So I think to some degree, there are people like me that don't feel that in the temple or at church. So it's interesting because you do feel like you can't talk about it. You have to just put on this persona of like, everything's so great. I'm so good. I'm doing what I'm told to be doing.
100%. Yeah. And it sends you in this feeling of like, what is like, is this real? Can I have faith in things, you know? And it's just, I can totally relate to that in a totally different religion as well, you know? So, Which segues us to my next question, which is, what was the final straw for you and your reason for ultimately leaving the church?
I would say it was a slow burn.
Okay.
Because I don't really feel like I had a final like moment where I was like, I'm done, until my husband was done. But I had been like in it.
Okay, so your husband, like, your husband was first. He was...
It's so weird because he was okay. The first one when he said, like, I don't believe it, like, confirmed it for me. Mm-hmm. But I'd been feeling it for years.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I had, like, informally left, in the sense of I wasn't really going to church anymore. I didn't really consider myself a Mormon anymore. But, like, he started to research things. And that's when I was like, because he came up to me one day and was just like, it's just not true. And I was like, well, because he's a convert.
Oh.
He converted to the church and got baptized when he was 22.
Oh, wow. And did he belong to a religion before that?
No, he did not. He grew up very differently.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So for him to say, like, it's not true, I was like, whoa, because he, like, chose it. I was born into it. I didn't have a choice. Whereas he did. Mm-hmm. And so that, like, yeah, I think that was a moment that I, like, really got on board with it. Because with him being a convert, I didn't want to ruin anything for him necessarily, because he loved the church. He, like, went on a mission and everything. And the LDS church sends missionaries out, boys, basically kids, at 19 years old. So he was a 23 or 24 year old going on a mission, which is almost unheard of. And it's 2 years of your life. I don't know if you've heard anything about the LDS missions. Do you know anything about them?
No, I do not.
So yeah, every boy is, they say it's not a requirement. If you don't go, you're definitely looked down upon. Okay. I would say, I had a brother that didn't serve, and you could tell that it, like, ate him up.
Oh, wow.
Because, like, my other two brothers did go, three brothers. I have a brother on a mission right now, actually. And you could just tell, like, it, yeah. It's just, so they go for 2 years and preach the gospel and try and baptize people on their missions, basically.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Wow, and so he was committed, you know, because you said he's doing this at an older age that really isn't common.
Yeah, it's very uncommon.
Wow.
He was like, everyone called him the grandpa, even though really
which is so
24.
Funny because he's 22, 23.
So young.
Wow. So you decide to leave, you and your husband. And what were your reactions, or what were the reactions from your family and your friends whenever you decided to tell them, you know, hey, this is what we're doing. And then how did it affect you?
So I actually was able to talk with my mom before posting and sharing that I was leaving. Me and my dad have never really been super close. And I knew he wouldn't like it. A little backstory, and I know you're going to ask me this question later, but there was a girl that I was friends with, and it was at, like, the point of me leaving that I was kind of on the fence. They call it a fence sitter. Mm-hmm. And she had posted about leaving, and I remember bringing it up at my parents' house at family dinner on Sunday and being like, I just don't understand why she needed to post. Like, why not just leave and be done with it? And my dad went off about how, like, it was so dumb of her to post and stuff. So I knew my dad would be really against me sharing. Mm-hmm. And so I had this conversation with my mom, and I kind of just said, like, I'm gonna share this, please let dad know. And we had a good conversation kind of about things that I'd found out about the religion, things that I wasn't comfortable with being a part of anymore. And she was really kind and understanding. It actually surprised me. And then sharing, I feel like all of the feedback was so positive. Everyone was so supportive, and really kind. And I actually had people who I genuinely thought would never talk to me again reach out to me and say, like, just want you to know, like, we still love you so much. We're just happy you're happy. And that meant so much to me. And I don't know if my family will listen to this podcast, honestly. I honestly doubt that they will, but none of my family members said anything to me after posting. My sister and my mom commented and said, I love you. And that was it. Nothing's ever been brought up about it. No one's ever said, hey, just like letting you know, like, even though you see differently than we do, we still love you. And that's been absolutely heartbreaking for me.
Wow. Yeah.
Because I had people who I, members of like my immediate extended family, who had texted me personally and been like, hey, we still love you. But my own family couldn't do that. And it was just, I don't know. It was a different kind of heartbreak than I've ever experienced.
Absolutely.
I've talked to my parents actually recently about the post, and people had been coming up to my parents and asking them if they were okay because of my post, because it had sounded apparently like I had attacked my parents. And I think it's because in my post, I say something along the lines of, like, my whole life I've been in this religion.
Which is so many of us, you know, regardless of any religion, you're brought up in it. And
regardless of any parent, that's what a parent does.
You're never asked. You're never asked, how do you, like, growing up, you're just never asked, like, does this align with you? Do you feel good being here? It's just, this is what it is. This is your religion.
This is what we do.
Yeah.
Yep. And it makes me sad that people thought that I was, like, blaming my parents. In no facet of my life have I ever thought this is on my parents.
Right.
It's on the church, because my parents wouldn't have taken me to church without the church. Mm-hmm. My parents wouldn't have taught me the things that they taught without the church. It was, their teachings were 99% based on the religion. And so in no way do I blame my parents for anything that I went through with the church. My parents are amazing. They're amazing. And I know that they're doing the best that they can. And I want to put this out there, because I'm hoping whoever came up to my parents and said, like, oh, I'm so sorry that your daughter is attacking you, like, I hope they see this and realize that is not at all what I was getting at, because it, like, made me mad.
Right.
Yeah, like, if I was blaming my parents, I would have said I was blaming my parents.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
It's just in that aspect, I know this is kind of, but like, that's one problem with the church. People refuse to see the bad of the church, so they'll put it on someone else. Mm-hmm. So in this instance, instead of seeing, literally my entire post talks about how the church was bad for me and how I felt shame and guilt in the church, they turned it around instead of seeing, like, oh yeah, the church did that to you. No, it was, oh, your parents must have just taught you wrong, so you're blaming them.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah. So that's another thing I don't love about that.
Well, you said, yeah. You mentioned the girl who inspired you a little bit. Can you talk about her a little bit more and, like, what exactly she posted, said, that kind of made you realize? And I know you said a little bit of it was your husband finally coming out and being like, I think I'm done. Well, what did she maybe have to say or post that you were like, wow, okay, this is, feels right. And it almost validates it for you.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, because when she first posted, I was jealous. I remember feeling jealousy. Like, you're free now. There was a sense of, like, a weight lifted off of her shoulders.
Which is almost like your soul telling you, like, without telling you, like, hey, you envy somebody who did this, like, because that's what we want, you know?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So her name is Callie. She's awesome. She ended up moving into our neighborhood. And then I think she was there for like a year, maybe longer, but we got to know each other a little bit. She would come to church with her husband and daughter. And she just randomly like posted this, and you know, well, you don't know, but I don't know, maybe in the Catholic Church it's the same, but in the Mormon community, one person does something, everyone's going to know about it within that like neighborhood. And so she had posted this and it went around. Everyone was like, oh, did you see what Callie posted? Did you see her post? So of course I go on and read it. And she just said that like, basically she just didn't consider herself a member of the church anymore. It wasn't bringing her happiness. And for that reason, she had chosen to leave. And of course, everyone's commenting all these positive things, even our bishop, which, like I said, the Mormon church is so many things, but our bishop is like in charge of our ward. So he's like, I don't know. Anyways, our bishop, he was a great guy. Like, I'm still good friends with him and his family. They're amazing people. And that's not the case for many bishops in the church.
Right. Someone that has such a high position in the church is recognize or like acknowledging this post.
So yes. And he was so supportive, and he's been so supportive of like all my tattoos, which is not something that LDS people are.
I was like, wondering.
Should not do that, or they've changed it now, but that's a whole other thing. Anyways, he like commented on it and was saying how like happy he was for her. But what's sad to me, because I've been on both sides of this, is you see all these positive things. You see all these people being like, we're so happy for you. But behind closed doors, you know, people are judging and being like, I can't believe she left. Like, she's ruining her life.
Right.
She can't be happy without the church. And even I thought those things because that's what we've been taught. I can remember from a primary age being like 4 or 5 and being told like, you cannot be happy without the church. And I believed that. I believed that for years.
That's a huge statement. That's a huge statement to take in as a young child. I mean, whoa.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
Well, you received a huge response from your post. And I saw through the comments, I'm sure you're receiving messages. So what kind of feedback were you getting from people? And was it positive, negative, both? Can you talk about that a little bit?
I would say like 90%, maybe even more than that, 95% were really positive. People just being like, I'm so happy you're happy. Other people who had left that I didn't know had left the church were saying like, oh, welcome to the like ex-Mormon club.
That's funny.
Yeah. And I feel like I said, for the most part, people were so friendly about it and kind and acknowledging of like my happiness.
Which is what faith and spirituality, I mean, that really is what it is. Like, it's something that gets you through the hard times. It helps you, you know, it's supposed to be happy. It's supposed to feel good. And when it doesn't, I mean, yeah, how do you continue on that? So,
yeah. Right. And I think spirituality is so personal. And it should be personal. And whether that's in a religion or not, it should be respected. And I don't share stuff to disrespect the LDS church or its members in any way, because I've been there. I've been a member. I've been a full believing member who thought this was the only way to get to heaven. And this was the only true church on the earth, because that's what we're taught.
You're not saying it's wrong. It's just wrong for you.
Exactly. It was just wrong for me. And I wish that was more accepted within all religions, that like if one person decides, oh, this isn't for me, that it's okay for them to leave and be supported in that. And not even just supported, but like proud of them for finding their way. Because I know that my parents and my family members are not proud of me. And it sucks. It sucks knowing that it's a disappointment when I found something, a different way that's brought me so much joy and peace in my life, leaving. And it's sad that like that's seen as a negative thing in their eyes because of the way the church has taught them to believe.
Wow. And I hope they see this and they do change their perspective on it a little bit to see that you are, you know, you're on a positive journey, whether it's with the church or not, because you have decided like, no, I'm going to do what's right for me, my family. And yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's sad that it's seen as, I'm sure in any religion, as like Satan has a hold on you. Mm-hmm. You're a bad person now because you're not doing what the religion wants of you, or you're not being a part of that. But I'm still a very good person. Right. And I try my best to be a good person, and not for a religion or a God or my family or my husband, but for me. Mm-hmm. Like I do it for me and my own soul and my own inner peace. Cause like, why would I not want to be good?
I love that. You know? I love what you just said. That's so true. So that being said, where are you at in your faith journey right now? So where have you found comfort spiritually?
Honestly, my kids. Like I think going through pregnancy and like seeing that in itself, like that miracle, does make me believe that there's some higher power, whether it's a God or a universe, I don't know. And I'm at peace with that. Like, I don't feel like I have to know. I think for some people, they desire that and they want to know those things. But I think I've found more peace in my life and happiness. I'm sorry. That's my voice sounds like a teenage boy.
You're doing great. You are doing great.
I've found so much peace and happiness in just, like I said, trying to be good, trying to teach my kids good, not necessarily having faith in any type of entity or God or whatever, but just like I still pray, but it's not in the same way that I was taught. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, it's just like me thinking my hopes and my dreams. And I don't know, like even with this podcast, I was like, please let me just be able to make it through with talking.
Don't fail me now, voice.
It's slowly failing.
Well, I think that's great. And I have actually never heard it put that way, that you almost like found that peace and spirituality through your kids and watching that miracle. And I think that's awesome. Like I've actually never heard it put that way, even though all of us as parents, I'm sure, feel that way to a sense of like, wow, okay, clearly there's great things, there's higher powers, and whether that's you believe in God, universe, Buddha, whatever, you know. So
yeah,
that's, I love that. So what advice would you give somebody who is going through what you went through, and maybe they haven't left yet? They're where you were, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and they're having these feelings, but they haven't made the decision yet. What advice would you give somebody?
Oh, I would tell them that I know it's hard and scary. Mm-hmm. But that there's so much joy and peace on the other side of that. On the other side of whatever decision it is that you're making, whether it's to leave a religion or a job or a relationship. I've always compared the church to a relationship in a lot of ways, but I just feel like if you personally don't feel good, if you can tell your soul is rejecting whatever is in front of you, to just take that leap, because there's so much goodness beyond that. My biggest regret is not doing it sooner.
And it almost feels like a weight being lifted, I'm sure.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think it's important to take time to find what truly makes you happy, not for anybody else, not for anything else, just for you. And sometimes that's hard because the way I grew up, I was told how to be and who to be and what to do. And so getting to this point in my life, in my 30s, I finally have found who I am and what I want to do. And I'm making decisions for myself. But I look back on all those years that I could have been doing things. And I wish I had done it sooner just to find myself sooner. And I think that's the biggest thing, is just finding who you are. And whether that's in a religion or not, shouldn't matter. It should just matter what you personally want for yourself.
Right, right. And so I'm a mom. You're a mom. Us as parents, we are so concerned about, you know, how we're raising our kids. We just want to do it right. I don't want to mess my kids up. And how are you going about faith with your children?
My son has learned about praying because we were still in the church when he was in his toddler years. So he knows how to pray. We don't really talk about a God or anything. And I think the reason for that is because in the church, we're taught that God loves us unconditionally. And then we're given all these conditions of things that we have to do.
That's very interesting.
Yes, wow. Because, well, we're taught that there's three tiers of heaven. So we have the celestial, terrestrial, telestial. Maybe I'm switching the bottom two. But to get to the celestial, you have to do X, Y, and Z, you know, to get there.
Whoa.
And everybody else will be on the bottom levels. But if you want to be with your family forever, you have to be on the celestial level. And as a kid, that's like terrifying.
Absolutely. It is.
To like even think about.
Wow.
And yeah. Even just the thought of like not being with your family forever is scary, especially as a kid. And I think I'm just at a point where I don't want my kids to ever feel that. I don't want them to teach. I don't want to teach them about a God, really, because I personally don't even know if I necessarily believe in one. But I also just don't want them to ever feel like they have to be doing good for somebody or something else. Mm-hmm. I want them to just be good because that's who they are. You know, and kids are innately good for the most part.
Right.
And I just feel like I want them to rely on their inner strength and their inner belief in themselves, not like a higher power. I remember like going into take a test and being like praying to God, please let me do this test good. Like, I know I studied, but like, I need your help. But I would much prefer the idea of like, I studied, I know I'm capable of this, I'm going to do good, and believing in me. And so I think that's what I want to teach my kids, is just their own personal belief of self-worth, of knowing that they are good enough, period. They don't need anything else.
That's amazing. Yeah, I 100% agree with that, and think that your response was great.
Thank you.
So you've become such an advocate for people already, I feel, with just your social media post. So for anyone listening right now who really resonates with you, your story, or someone that's going through exactly what you went through, and on the what do you call it? On the fence, or a fence sitter?
Oh, yeah, fence sitter.
Fence sitter. Okay, so if you're a fence sitter, where can they find you, follow you? What's the best way to connect with Brayden?
Honestly, my Instagram, just okay. Brayden, at Brayden.
Okay. And yeah. Can you spell that? Because you have a little bit of a different spelling.
Yeah. Freaking thanks, Mom.
I love it, though. I honestly, I told my husband that I love how you spell your name.
Thank
it's
you.
So cool. And I think it's catchy. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, I hated it when I was a kid, but I like love it now. I can have just my first name. First name as my Instagram handle. Like
no one has
can
it.
Do that.
No one there. I could never do that. As a Haley, no.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just Braadyn.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so, so much for coming on the show. And I mean, it took a lot of courage, I'm sure, to come on and share this story because it's not an easy topic. And, you know, for something especially that you were part of for 30 years, like that's, you know, it's not easy to talk about something like that. And so thank you so much for being brave and vulnerable and putting your story out there, not only on social media, but on this podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been something I've wanted to do for a long time, so it means a lot to me.
Amazing. Well, take care of your voice. Drink some drink some hot tea, and I hope it feels better. And thank you all for listening. And until next time. As always, I appreciate you all so much for listening. My goal is for these episodes to at least help one person in some aspect of their life. So if you like what you hear, don't forget to follow, like, subscribe to the show, as well as follow us on social media at Inside Voice Pod. Thanks.